Good morning. Welcome to the UU Church of the South Hills, also known as Sunny Hill. We're delighted that you could join us for this service this morning. Our mission here at Sunny Hill is to create a more just and compassionate community within and beyond our walls. My name is Krista Stanley, and I serve as a worship associate for this congregation. If you're a newcomer or a visitor to our congregation, please go to sunnyhill.org and click on the button that says New to Sunny Hill to receive more information about our congregation and to receive our weekly email newsletter. If you're joining us online today, please say hello or good morning in the comments on Facebook or YouTube. We'd like to hear from you and extend a welcome to you as well. A gentle reminder for those of you here with us in person, please be sure to silence your cell phones and other electronic devices so that we can enjoy our time together uninterrupted by buzzing or ringing. Today's service is titled Faith, Doubt, and Mustard Seed. The Gospel of Mark's parable of the mustard seed challenges its readers to think about such issues as faith, doubt, and the power of community. What does this parable have to say about our own lives and our own era? Our opening words were written by Heidi Cottom. Let us be a faith that gathers, reaching for one another. Through the walls of hate, others build. Through the cages of ignorance and arrogance. And through the fear that burns city streets. Let us be a faith that sees a vision of a better world, more compassionate, more just, more holy, and with more love. There is a faith that binds up the broken, cauterizes battle wounds with the balm of peace, sings longer and louder than the trumpets of war. Let us be that faith too. Let us be the ones who do not tread lightly in this world, but light it up with our love, who hold up the mirror of worth and dignity, who are the sanctuary others seek. But first, let us be a faith that worships together, here, this morning, in this space, at this moment. Let us be a faith. Please join me in saying the words to light our chalice. We ignite this flame, symbol of our faith, to beckon us into community. Warm our hearts with love and give us a light to follow as we carry our faith into action.
I'd like to start my sermon today by sharing with you a poem written by Don Markova that's titled, I Will Not Die an Unlived Life. I will not die an unlived life. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, to make me less afraid, more accessible, to loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. I choose to risk my significance, to live so that that which came to me as seed goes to the next as blossom, and that which came to me as blossom goes on as fruit. As I mentioned in my sermon last week, Jesus often spoke in parables, much to the frustration and sometimes consternation of those around him, who often seemed to be yearning for easy answers. But Jesus insisted on pointing beyond just the easy answers. In fact, he was intent on challenging anyone who would listen to him to go deeper in their thinking and in their understanding, not just to find one answer to a difficult question, but to wrestle with the underlying issues, eventually grasping the truth that easy answers are almost never enough. Parables existed in Jewish teachings long before the time of Jesus. There are, for example, parables in the book of Judges and 2 Samuel and elsewhere in the Hebrew scriptures. When parables appear in the Bible, they always point toward complexity and toward a way of understanding that is neither simple nor easy. Most of the parables of Jesus have to do with something he often called the kingdom of heaven. In fact, most of his parables begin with a simile, "The kingdom of heaven is like." Next week, I'll be exploring more deeply this idea of the kingdom of heaven, both what it might have meant for Jesus and what it might mean for us. But now, suffice it to say that the kingdom of heaven, as thought of by Jesus, is something in which we can participate now, something that we can co-create at any time and any place if we are open to transformation and willing and able to live in a different way. In the fourth chapter of Mark, there are several parables told in rapid succession about the sowing of seeds. The shortest of these seed parables, just 2 verses long, as it's told in Mark, is a parable of the mustard seed, which reads as follows. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of heaven is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." This same parable appears in slightly different forms in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, who elaborate and put their own spin on this story, which they likely borrowed or maybe stole from Mark. The parable of the mustard seed also appears in the Gospel of Thomas, a non-canonical gospel comprised entirely of the sayings of Jesus, just one after the other, which may have been one of the sources for Mark's gospel. Thomas's version of the same parable reads as follows. The disciples said to Jesus, "Tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like." He said to them, "It is like a grain of mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, but when it falls on tilled ground, it puts forth a great branch and becomes shelter for the birds of heaven." Interpreters of the gospel parables have often tried to turn them into allegories, but parables are different from allegories. In an allegory, each element of the story might be thought of as standing for a particular concept, person, idea, or thing. John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress is an example of an allegory, and a little bit of a heavy-handed allegory at that, in which characters have such names as Christian, Mr. Worldly Wise Man, Hopeful, Faithful, Ignorance, Lord Hategood, and so on. It's not particularly subtle, but it does provide a high degree of clarity about what each character in the story represents. Parables resist such easy interpretation. But many readers of this particular parable of the mustard seed have tried to turn it into an allegory, assuming that the mustard seed represents faith, or it represents the church, or it represents the gospel message. All of these things are, of course, possible, but they are not the only meanings. Amy Jill Levine, whose book on the Gospel of Mark is the inspiration for this sermon series, advises us to start with the literal sense of the parable. Examine what the different elements that are present in the element in the story mean to us, and then see what stands out as being strange or unusual. So, as a jumping off point, what do we know of mustard and mustard seeds? We know that mustard seeds are tiny, perhaps not actually the smallest of all seeds, but still very small. We know that mustard has been used as a spice for cooking and as a condiment for thousands of years. We know that mustard has also been used medicinally in the form of poultices or powders to treat a wide variety of ailments. We know that certain species of mustard are invasive plants that can choke and kill native species that are in their way. We know that mustard plants are bright and colorful, and in some cases, certain species of mustard are used as decorative elements in gardens. And we know that mustard is one of the oldest known species of plants to have been domesticated as early as 3000 BCE. These are all aspects of mustard plants that we might consider as we read this parable. We might also consider that planting a mustard seed, and as a result, creating, as the parable says, a nesting place for birds, might not be an entirely desirable outcome. Farmers and gardeners are usually trying to scare birds away rather than to invite them into their farms and gardens where they can, in fact, do a lot of damage. So considering all of these facts and factors, what does it mean that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed? Given the complexity of what the image or idea of mustard might invoke, spice, medicine, diminutiveness, wildness, domestication, color, and so on, it might be important to consider that a single mustard seed contains a plethora of possibilities. All seeds, of course, can be seen to represent possibility, and all seeds are part of the great cycle of life, from seed to plant to flower to fruit, back to seed again. But the mustard seed contains so many possibilities that there is perhaps some uncertainty and risk involved in sowing the seed. It might be used to cook, to heal, to decorate, to provide a home for the birds, whether they are desired or not, or it might even in some cases run wild and take over an entire garden. So in my reading of this parable, the kingdom of heaven is something that contains multiple possibilities. How we perceive and act on these possibilities, or fail to act, determines what the outcome of having planted this seed will be. We are all capable of planting seeds of possibility, but there is, as I said, some amount of risk and uncertainty in the act of planting these seeds. It is the choice to plant these seeds despite the inherent risk and uncertainty, despite the seeming chaos and decay that surround us, despite our inability to know how everything will turn out, is a sacred and important act. Planting seeds in such circumstances certainly involves both faith and doubt. We may or may not have faith that the seeds we plant will make some kind of positive difference in the world, and we almost certainly will have doubts that anything we can do as individuals will do much to help. As I've gone on talking about this parable and the various meanings and images that it might evoke, It may feel like I've made the meaning of this story of the mustard seed even more complex and difficult to understand than it was to begin with. If it seems that way, it's because that is what I have done or attempted to do. Parables are supposed to be challenging. They're supposed to make us a little less certain and make us think and explore a little bit more. But one thing I do want to make clear is that in order to be participants in something like the kingdom of heaven or what others have called the beloved community, we must be sowers of seeds. And we must, in fact, cast ourselves like seeds, which is the subject of this poem by Miguel de Unamuno, titled Throw Yourself Like Seed. Shake off this sadness and recover your spirit. Sluggish, you will never see the wheel of fate that brushes your heel as it turns going by. The one who wants to live is the one in whom life is abundant. Now you are only giving food to that final pain which is slowly winding you in the nets of death. But to live is to work, and the only thing which lasts is the work. Start there, turn to the work. Throw yourself like seed as you walk and into your own field. Don't turn your face, for that would be to turn it to death. And do not let the past weigh down your motion. Leave what's alive in the furrow, what's dead in yourself. For life does not move in the same way as a group of clouds. From your work, you will be able one day to gather yourself. There's a lot of imagery in that poem. We're encouraged to shake off our sadness and recover our spirit, to live from a place of abundance, to throw ourselves like seed, not weighed down by our past, but doing the work of the present, leaving in the furrowed ground of our being something that may one day grow into a bountiful harvest of ourselves. This is what I would call mustard seed living. It is living in a way that invokes all those possibilities contained in the parable of the mustard seed, the color, the spiciness, the medicine for the soul, the growth from tiny to incredibly big, big enough to become a home for others, even the birds of the heavens. And when you have a whole community of people living in this way, engaging in this work of mustard seed living, imagine what might be accomplished, what love and energy might be generated, what kind of justice and compassion might be brought into the world as a result. And it begins with the idea of a tiny seed full of possibility that might be transformed into action. Returning to the Don Markova poem I quoted at the beginning of this sermon, I choose to risk my significance, to live so that that which came to me as seed goes to the next as blossom, and that which came to me as blossom goes on as fruit. I hope and pray that we might all choose to do likewise, and in so doing, we might begin enacting something like a mustard seed, something like the kingdom of heaven. May it be so. Amen.
Please join me in saying the words for extinguishing our chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
May our faith sustain us, our hope inspire us, and our love surround us as we go our separate ways, knowing that we will gather again in this beloved community. Go in peace.